Blog Talk Radio.
How's that for an opening? Pretty good? Welcome to the eve of the 4th of July. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Last night, we ran out of time talking about the drug problem in the USA, which can only get worse. Who did I hear? Somebody was talking about drugs today. Oh, I know who it was. Mike Gallagher this morning, he opened up with his version of the drug problem in the USA, and people were calling saying, look, I grow my own, and I only have two plants, and I'm up to two plants a day. Pretty soon I'll have a grove. Give me a break, guys. Come on, you know. If you're going to, you know, if you were ever taught right from wrong, you still got to use that principle. You know, it's all right. If you want to rationalize and justify your addiction, I'm not addicted. I only do it twice a month. Are they marked on a calendar? Oh, I can't wait to the 23rd. Yeah, give me a break, fellas. And, you know, there's a lot of dead Mexicans. You're killing all these Mexicans, 70,000. They're being cut up in little pieces. There's one room there's one building in one town, in one room are arms, in another room are legs, and in the other room are torsos, and the heads are out in the street. How would you like to live like that? How would you like to get up in the morning and take your daughter to school and have to run a machine gun fire? How would you like to get caught? You know what a Mexican standoff is, right? When these drug gangs are shoot it out? Yeah. No, we just pay for the drugs. We don't get involved. Okay. So I found something in a book. Because I was looking for a book that Jimmy from Brooklyn recommended that I get. And the name of the book, it was written probably in the 60s. The name of the book is Red Cocaine, and it's The Drugging of America and the West. Oh, can't be. What, is everything communist with you? Yes, it is, my friends. It is, because they are our enemy. And now we have communists on the Supreme Court. You don't believe that, do you? No. And you're gonna say, just as the gallows trap door opens and you drop through, I can't believe this is happening to me. They told me it wasn't going to be about me. It was going to be about them. So I found this little newspaper clip, and I thought I'd share it with you just to give you an idea of how BS'd we are as a nation. We're BS'd and BW'd, brainwashed. And this is a clip from the Daily News. Do you remember when President Pinocchio Pants was getting harmonica lessons in the Oval Office, the Oral Office? Do you remember that? Do you remember what the communists told us at that time? What he does in the privacy of the Oral Office is nobody's business. You know, when they used to say, when the communists tell you what a person does in the privacy of his home is nobody's business, I used to say, yeah, but that doesn't go for the garage or the basement. Yeah, in the privacy of the home, the sanctuary, the communist sanctuary. Yeah, it all depends on how many bodies you're burying in the backyard. But anyway, yeah, they used to tell us that this president could walk and chew gum at the same time. Of course, the description was a little more explicit, and it wasn't walking and chewing gum. But they said it doesn't affect his ability to protect the nation and to serve the country. It has nothing to do with that. Those are just extracurricular activities. The Daily News, Wednesday, October the 21st of 2010, the New York Daily News. Oh, there's another article that looks sad, too. A newsman was dying. Somebody robbed him. Bubba and the Lost Nuke Attack Codes. Oh, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. And I hear Mike Savage tonight. He's talking about wait till we lose an aircraft carrier. And every day, you know, the Iranians are dying to sink two aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf. They're dying to do it. They want to see those sailors bobbing up and down in the burning oil-soaked waters and watch 5,000 people go into the drink from each aircraft carrier. Oh, yeah, never can happen. Oh, Pearl Harbor never happened. The Alamo never happened. No, 9-1-1 never happened. That was a coincidence. That was a coincidence, those two plane crashes. And you could always get Rosie O'Donnell's theory. Hers is a good one. Steel doesn't melt. Yeah. Okay. She says, and it was an inside job in the Pentagon. And I got a tune that I play with Faith Hill. And they recorded excerpts from 911 before they go into the Star Spangled Banner. And the guy says, I'm looking out my window down near the Pentagon, and I can see this plane going right into the building. But he didn't talk to Rosie O'Donnell because she has a different theory. She thinks that the Pentagon was attacked by straight guys. Anyway, Bubba and the Lost Nuke Attack Codes. Former President Bill Clinton lost the biscuit. a card with the codes needed to launch a nuclear attack and couldn't find it for months, a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has revealed. At one point during the Clinton administration, you know what? I gotta break this. I want to tell you one thing. You know, Jimmy Carter didn't want the football near him, you know, the football where he can launch attacks. He wanted it 9 miles away from him. Now, he knew that. His people knew that. And the Russians knew that. And the Chinese knew that. And Al-Qaeda knows that. So, what was Jimmy Carter's value to the United States? Zippity-doo-dah. So let's go back to President Pinocchio pants. Biff from Back to the Future. He lost the biscuit and he couldn't find it for months. At one point during the Clinton administration, General Hugh Shelton recalled the codes were actually missing for months. That's a big deal, a gargantuan deal, he told ABC World News. Bubba's a scary blunder is described in Shelton's just-published memoir, Without Hesitation, The Odyssey of an American Warrior. Can't be worrying too much if you can't get your nukes up. Yeah, he was getting everything up but his missile. Yeah, Shelton claims the story is new, but another military man told a similar account in his book 7 years ago. That included a possible excuse for Clinton's knuckleheadedness. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Robert Patterson claims Clinton was asked to present the biscuit so it could be updated with a new one, but he couldn't find it. It was the morning after the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke. He thought he placed them upstairs, Patterson recalled. We called upstairs. We started a search around the White House for the code. And he finally confessed that he had, in fact, misplaced them. He couldn't recall where he had seen them last, Patterson said. Still talked about around the White House, but neither confirmed nor denied by anyone, is that President Jimmy Carter left his biscuit in a suit that got sent to the dry cleaners. How's that? Well, here's one. The teen on trial for the 50 stab slaying of WABC newsman George Weber admitted fishing through his victim's pockets as prosecutors said he bled to death. We were struggling over the knife. Isn't that nice? Drug-related? Probably not. No crime is drug-related. We were talking today about when we used to watch movies about the prison movies. Like with Jimmy Cagney, you know, White Heat, and Angels with Dirty Faces, and they would show you the prison, and everybody in the prison was white. What happened? What happened? But anyway, so Red Cocaine, The Drugging of America and the West, an expose of long-term Russian and Chinese intelligence operations aimed at achieving the demoralization and ultimate control of the West through drugs. As a dimension of the continuing Leninist world revolution. By Joseph D. Douglas, Jr. Introduction by Dr. Ray S. Klein, former Deputy Director for Intelligence of the CIA before it was compromised. Dedicated to all who have lost a friend or a loved one to the evil scourge of drugs. There's a lot of people. You go to the cemetery and you see the ages of the tombstones. You know they didn't die from natural causes in most cases. It is high time to fight back, so he says high time. The junkies love that kind of talk. Yeah, and here's the contents. Chapter 1, The Chinese Drug Offensive. Chapter 2, The Soviets Decide to Compete. Chapter 3, Building the Latin American Drug Network. Chapter 4, Khrushchev Instructs the Satellite Nations. Chapter 5, Organizing for Druzhba Narodov. Chapter 6, Political Warfare and Drugs in Vietnam. Chapter 7, Moscow Intensifies the Drug War in the Late 60s to 63. Chapter 8, Cuba and the Rise of Narco-Terrorism. Chapter 9, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil. Chapter 10, Questions of Intelligence. Chapter 11, Fixing the Responsibility. And Chapter 12, Grim Outlook for the 21st Century. This is the second edition of this book. And let's see what this says. This is, remember, the title of this book is Red Cocaine. What they said about red cocaine. A powerful and well-documented case of a deliberate policy decision, first by the authorities in Beijing and then in Moscow, who contribute to the decay of American society. Red cocaine, we don't even we have to import drugs. 15,000 containers on one ship are offloaded in 4 hours in California from China. You think there are any drugs in one of those containers? Red cocaine puts the facts on record. We ignore the message it reveals at our own peril. Red cocaine at last blows the lid off the most explosive aspect of drug trafficking, the Soviet connection. Here is the shocking story of the drugging of America by international communism. And that's Robin Moore, author of The French Connection. This eye-opening book proves the insidious involvement of the Soviet intelligence services in the deliberate spread of the drug menace in the United States. That's by Chapman Pincher, author of The Secret Offensive. Red Cocaine is a seminal work which is essential reading for all serious students of the continuing Leninist world revolution today. And this was 1999. A sine qua non for understanding why Western civilization is under such relentless and ruthless attack is to be aware of history, of the long-term drug offensive against the West by Chinese and Russian intelligence as a key element of the ongoing assault on the structures and institutions of society in order to change loyalties irrevocably for revolutionary purposes. And what they said about cocaine, and this is quotes of people of from history, we will disarm the capitalists with the things they like to taste. Chow and Lai, 1958. Deception and drugs are our first two strategic echelons in the war. Nikita Khrushchev, 1963. Deception. Are we being deceived right now? I was ordered to load up the United States with drugs. Mario Estevez Gonzalez, Cuban intelligence agent, 1981. Drugs are used as political weapons. The target was the youth. Antonio Farach, high-level Nicaraguan official, 1984. Drugs are considered to be the best way to destroy the United States by undermining the will of American youth. You mean the kid that's 25 and he's hiding in the basement waiting for his parents to pay off the second mortgage on the house and his college loan? The enemy is destroyed without firing one bullet, Major Juan Rodriguez, Cuban intelligence officer, citing and invoking Antonio Gramsci, Lavrenti Beria, and Sun Tzu in a single sentence. Antonio Gramsci, Jimmy from Brooklyn, always quotes him, always cites him as a most effective communist. And we all know about Lavrenti Beria. He was a bad guy. He was a real bad guy. Opium should be regarded as a powerful weapon it has been employed by imperialists against us, and now we should use it against them. Mao Zedong deployed drugs against Chinese populations. So that's just a little bit of an introduction. And I just wanted you to know that when Junior buys his weed, he's contributing to the downfall of the United States. So, having said that, I'm going to give you a tune. I'm going to set up to read the rest of my chapter, Drugs Suck. I made it the number one chapter in my book, The Spirit of America Party. Why did I make it the number one chapter? Because it is the most deadly. It is more deadly than a nuke. We can recover from a nuke. We can't recover from drugs. The rehab rate sucks. It is ridiculous. I have chapter two is terrorism. Chapter two, I consider terrorism to be less of a threat than drugs. Chapter three is flag burners in the House and the Senate. There goes the fireworks. They're starting. We're going to have fireworks tonight. Not me. I'm beyond the fireworks stage. So, having said that, let me find a tune for you. And it's really sad, isn't it? It's really sad. You know how much money is in drugs. And all these jerks think that, oh, once it's legalized, the crime will go away. No. The crime will just advance itself to a higher level of crime. You know what I'm saying? Okay. We'll dedicate this next tune to all the drug users.
We don't got to really do.
I was just thinking, I was listening to Savage tonight, and he went off on O'Reilly. Oh, did he go off on O'Reilly. O'Reilly won't be able to sit down and listen to what he said about him. O'Reilly will be up in the air somewhere. And he went off on O'Reilly, and he calls the guys at Fox the Irish Mafia. Now, you see, you know, I could buy what he's saying about O'Reilly, because O'Reilly plays it very close to the vest, and he's always one hop away from defense. But when you attack all the Irish by calling O'Reilly a leprechaun, you're turning off your audience. And you can't do that. I mean, what's the biggest crime that Hannity ever committed? He had a job. He used to work in construction. It's a big crime. These guys did it good. O'Reilly left, I think he was working at ABC, to join Fox, and he helped build Fox. And now he's reaping the rewards. He made a good investment. He invested himself and in the Murdoch dynasty. And look what they've done to NBC and ABC and CNN. They've crushed them. And why shouldn't they now ride the coattails of success? But I know what Savage is saying, but what he should be doing is finding out who, you know, when you send a registered letter, or is it a certified one? Whichever one is the most accurate, the one where the envelope goes from hand to hand and everybody signs it all along the way, so that if it disappears, they know who the last guy was that handed it off. That's what you got to do when somebody smears you, or the media gives a blanket statement like, judge rules this. Which judge? Where's he from? What did he do for a living? And now tonight they're talking about Roberts, and somebody's saying his wife is a real lib. You know, he went to Malta. He's gone to Malta right after this decision. And he looks guilty. He looks like he's got guilt on it written on his face. And you wonder, why is he going to Malta? Well, you know, they have, maybe Malta has bank accounts that can't be, that are protected. You know, maybe the Knights Templar still have a bank there. Yeah, maybe George Soros has an account there. Who knows, right? He's just going to pick up some gravy. You never know. Let me tell you something. I don't put anything past anybody. I was at a show in Dubai, at a booth, and an Indian guy came up to me. An Indian guy came up to me. He says, guess what religion I am? I says, you're Jewish. He said, how did you know? I figured he's asking me, it's got to be something wild. So I took a wild guess. He goes, yes, even my wife doesn't know. Some people have to live under the cloak their whole lives. But anyway, so Savage is ranting and raving. And I forgot what I was going to tell you. All right, let us go into... I was thinking of a joke, and I... Oh, I know what it was. Savage is very fussy. You know, like he every time you turn on his show, he's complaining about the waiter with the dirty hands or lipstick on his glass. In the New York City here, when Mayor Bloomberg was going after all of the Frankfurter stands, you know, the guys with the little push carts, it was persecuting the push cart of private entrepreneur. There was a guy who had a nice push cart, and he was standing on the corner, and a customer walked up to him and said, I'd like a Frank with sauerkraut. So he reached in, he grabbed a roll, he opened up the little tray, and he reached in with his fingers, and he picked up the Frankfurter, and he put it on the roll. And then he reached in with his fingers and he picked up the sauerkraut and he put it on the Frankfurter. And the guy flashed a badge. Goes, City of New York, the Bloomberg Gestapo. You've got a $15,000 fine for running an unsanitary operation. Guy goes, what did I do wrong? Says, first off, you're not wearing a hairnet. You have to have a hairnet. Secondly, you touch the food with your fingers. You're not supposed to touch the food. You got to have plastic gloves, and you got to have tongs. So, and we'll be back next week. We're going to double-check and see that you're following the law. So the next week goes by, and the guy's there. He's trying. He's working extra hard to pay the fine. No, it's 1 year's salary. And that's how the government's going to put us all out of business. And sure enough, here comes the inspector. The inspector says, he's wearing a mustache. He's disguised himself. He says, I'll take a frank with sauerkraut. The guy goes, sure. And he has the plastic gloves on. He's got the hair net. He reaches, he gets a roll. He opens the roll. He takes the tongs. He reaches in. He gets the frank butter. Then he takes the tongs and he reaches, gets the sauerkraut, and he puts it on and he gives it to the guy and he says, $2. The guy goes, that's very good. You've obeyed the law. You've learned your lesson. The guy goes, would you do me a favor? Would you just mind the stand for a minute? I got to go to the bathroom. So the inspector's minding the stand for him, and he looks down the alley, and the guy is urinating on the wall. So he comes back out, and he goes, I'll take another frank. So the guy starts the frank again. He goes, wait a minute. You just violated the health code. This is what I do wrong. He says, you went into the alleyway and you relieved yourself. And you didn't wash your hands after you touched yourself. He says, no, I didn't touch myself. That's what the tongs are for. Okay. So having said that, let's get to drugs. You like that joke? I think it's good. Now, when you're doing drugs, you got to watch out for side effects. Have you noticed all the drug commercials on television? Whatever happens to take two aspirins and call me in the morning. I often thought I would open up, you know, like they have the health shows on the radio, and Fox has on Sunday, they have the doctors. I thought I would take calls as a doctor, Dr. Imposter, and I would treat all the diseases with candy. You know, doc, I'm having erectile dysfunction. Take two blue M&Ms and call me in the morning. So watch out for side effects. Whatever happened to take two aspirin and call me in the morning? There was no Ritalin in grammar school. Overactive kids received an early bird throttling and simmer down karate chops. Now the teachers and children are both Ritalin riddled. The latest craze is snorting Ritalin. Could you believe that? But that's only grades 1 through 5. We are the only country in the world where the mayor of a major city gets busted live on videotape. He's caught piping crack cocaine and uses the same tape in his reelection campaign and wins the election. Yeah, and we don't have a drug problem. What did that guy say? There was no drugs in his neighborhood. Yeah. Notice all the safe drug commercials have disclaimers at the end of the sales pitch. Like even if you have a genital herpes, a syphilis, gonorrhea, and crabgrass, he will never know. Because with our product, you will look so good. So take life's run on the beach together as one. Our product comes with earplugs to drown out those terrible, painful screams when Macho Man gets his test results back. Hey, buddy, is your hair falling out? Try Oxygain. Just rub it on your head and quickly wash your hands. Just watch that hair grow back, and you'll have to beat the babes off. The side effects are malaria, typhus, Javaro fingernail fungus, and rapid, painful, explosive, uncontrollable bowel movements. Look, Mommy, they just threw that man off the moving bus. Yes, but look at that head of hair. Ladies, not satisfied with the look that God gave you? You know, I got a theory about that. Why a lot of people aren't getting married. You see, God created us a certain way so that when Mr. Right came along for Mrs. Right, they would be able to recognize each other. But now that they're both getting a cosmetic surgery, they no longer recognize each other. So they live a life of loneliness. So, ladies, not satisfied with the look that God gave you, not to worry. Dr. Stretchum has just returned from Europe. He is Bored, B-O-R-E-D, is certified, and the plastic surgeon to the kings and queens of Europa. Latest state-of-the-art surgical tables and wrecking balls. A little tuck here, an enlargement there, not even your bank will recognize you. Eye, ear, nose, and throat piercing, our specialty. Caution, do not remove the silver screw from your belly button after surgery, otherwise your tuchus will fall off. Senior housewives and mature ladies, are you having moaning sickness because your man, once the silent, comfy armchair type, has discovered Viagra? Now he thinks he's Sir Lancelot. He likes to sing and dance a lot. Ever since he sent away for those blue pills, he thinks he's a stud, and you are Anna Nicole Smith, living the nightmare on Elm Street. Have no fear. For every action, there's a reaction. So when Casanova takes a Viagra, Mama slips him Niagara. Voila, the honeymoon is over. While a Viagra makes him jolly, perky, and prance like a Tennessee Walker, Niagara counters that, the Niagara Falls. Soon he will be left. He will be off trotting in another direction. Ouvre la porte de la salle de bain. Look, he's speaking sexy French. Open the bathroom door. The side effects are whinnying, penis gout, tries to count by stamping one foot, rapid loud backfiring caused by a clogged catalytic converter, extreme Italian mental anguish known as everything is turning to spaghetti. Surgeon General's warning, the dosage should be carefully measured. It is recommended that you try it on the dog first. If the dog dies, then the measured amount should be doubled. In the event that lover boy survives, you can finish him off by talking dirty to him. Break out the paddles and use the same words that Anna Nicole uses, clear. When all else fails, make him go with the gals on the Atlantic City double-decker bus tour. Be sure he carries all the bags. And after that, if he is still upright, put him on Survivor. Say F you to drugs. Long, live long and beautiful inside and outside, and save the kids. You know, when a plane crashes, the first thing the marketing boys do is spray paint over the markings to protect the airline from bad publicity. Recently, an erectile dysfunctional product like Viagra was endorsed by a well-known football coach, and he suffered a heart attack while demonstrating the product. Immediately, the Madison Avenue boys ran into the hotel room and spray-painted out the logo on his Speedo. Why is it they keep God out of school, but they let the devil in? Isn't devil worship a religion? Is pot smoke the sacred vapor of the Church of Beelzebub? I'm incensed. When the court forces you into rehab, and you go and you look around at the other drug graduates, I bet you say to yourself, I'm not like them. Pot is the baby pablum of the heroin grown-up. Some kids mature early. That's not true. Look at me. I don't do heroin yet. Better odds you can get at the Kentucky Derby. Dionne Warwick, busted for marijuana, sentenced to 75 years in the joint. The dope man is back in town. And we just saw Whitney Houston. And I made a comment that she was happier at 11 years old as singing For God than she was at the top of the charts. Bad Act Scene 1 has seen them all. The best Catholic get high school in the area. Everyone wants to go there. The football coach is moonlighting. He's selling cocaine and loan sharking. And if you ask him why, he would reply, if they're dumb enough to buy it, I'm smart enough to sell it. Besides, I only send the terrorists their small cut. A true story, sad ending. Many students' dads are cops and firemen. They're fighting crime and terror, and King Cocaine is killing their kid. Moral of the story, aim high, not get high. America needs you in the best physical and mental shape. Stop bleeding your brain and keep your nose clean. Live longer than your grandparents. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral of a 24-year-old and stand with his parents as they bury their baby. And all he did was one hit of heroin. But he did it wrong. 29 cocaine trucks a day escape at the border guards. Can you smell the difference between cocaine and anthrax? Too late, gotcha. So, I figured I'd give you a joke. I promised you a joke and a song per chapter. There's a joke and a song in every chapter of my book. And the song for a drug sucker is "It's Hip to Be Square." An elephant walks into a bar and he asks the bartender how much for a 55-gallon drum of beer. The bartender says $475. The elephant orders the beer, and as he sucks up all the peanuts on the bar, the bartender gapes at the elephant. The elephant turns around and says, "What the hell are you looking at?" The bartender replies, "Nothing. We just don't get too many elephants in here." And the elephant says, "You won't either, not at these prices." Here's one from Uncle Eddie. A guy joins a monastery and takes a vow of silence. He's only allowed to speak two words every 5 years. At the end of the first five, he says, "No food." 5 years later, he says, "No blanket." At the end of the 15th year, he says, "I quit." The other monks shout, "Good riddance, you're always bitching." What was that? Oh, yeah, it was one with a guy goes into a bar. And it's in Chelsea, which is very posh. And he says to the bartender happens to be hunchback. He says to the bartender, "How much for the wine?" Bartender says, $25 a glass. He says, "How much for the whiskey?" He says, $45 a shot. He says, "How much for the beer?" "Beer's $10 a bottle." This guy stutters. "Give me a beer." So the bartender draws him a beer. "Give me another beer." Draws him another beer. He says, "Have one yourself." And the bartender says, "No, let me buy you one." He says, "Well, why you want to buy me one?" And the bartender says, "Because you didn't make fun of my hunchback." He says, a hunchback? I thought that was your ass. Everything else is so high around here. Let me give you a tune if we can find a tune for you. Oh, they put my computer to sleep. I got one of those snooze alarm computers. This is terrible. But drugs do suck. And let me tell you, it hurts a lot of people. You want to destroy a nation. There are horror stories in Red Cocaine about how the communists got drugs to the troops and how they gave them the best heroin. You know, like in Brazil, they send the best coffee for export. That's what the Chinese and the Vietnamese did in Nam. They gave the Americans the best heroin, and they gave it to them for free. And a lot of guys, somebody told me a lot of guys that came home KIA were actually overdoses. You never know. You never know how weak you are until your enemy crushes you. And then it's too late. You got a president that's more interested in making money for himself than he is in protecting the country. He's not going to go out of his way to stop Al-Qaeda. So they hit the coal, so what? That's only 27 dead sailors. That's nothing. We're not doing that. Give you the Whiff and Poof song.
From the table up at Woodland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well, all the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooh-lee-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooh-bop-me-doppin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. Baba, yes, Dixieland music.
Love that sound.
They condemn, but every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they ba.
A guy named Lin Xiao Wei just got caught bringing in $1 million worth of Marlboros from China. Made in China, Marlboros. And you know, when they export them to the Middle East, they say made in USA on them. I'll bet it. I'll bet. And you know, the Arabs love Marlboros. It's the number one cigarette in the Middle East. You have no idea how these guys smoke. They smoke. Unbelievable. L&M wanted to get distribution in Iran, and they went to a guy in Dubai who had a smuggling connection, and they gave him a price that nobody could refuse. I think it was 11 cents a pack just to get them fit cigarettes into the marketplace. How's that? Well, this guy, he brought in $1 million worth of Marlboros. And I say, wait till they legalize weed. $1 million worth of Marlboros got caught, 100 million got through. We are wide open, face down, pants down. We can't stop anything. And you know that Border Patrol Agent Terry was told not to use bullets. He had to use a beanbag against five guys with AK-47s. You know that, right? No, you didn't know that? They didn't tell you that in the press? Oh, they must have. That's the one minute press. Anytime there's anything that makes Obama look bad, it comes into the news for 1 minute. You can't even, before the ink is dry on the print, it's gone. You know what else disappeared overnight? The death of 22 Navy SEALs from SEAL Team 6. Oh, wasn't he getting kudos and he was taking credit? When he got bin Laden, I got bin Laden, SEAL Team 6. I directed them in there. I got bin Laden. As a matter of fact, I just signed with Hollywood. I'm going to do the I Got Bin Laden movie, and I'm going to star in it. Yeah, and then he lost 22 SEAL Team 6 members and 8 other military guys in a chopper takedown on a night mission that shouldn't have went out. Oh, and the story was, well, it was Rangers pinned down, and we had to send in the SEALs. I just wonder if they sacrificed those SEALs. You know, here's your gift, Pakistan. They got Bin Laden, and we're giving you these guys. You'll never know the truth. You'll never know the truth. The only way you're going to know the truth is if somebody squeals. And they don't seem to squeal too much. So, wait till they legalize weed. $1 million worth got caught. $100 million got through. We are wide open, face down, pants down. This is more political exempt inside of political training, trading. I can see the fake Viagra commercial now. John, you're not performing. Sorry, dear. Lin Chao Wei got me. This isn't Viagra. This is Niagara. Remember Niagara Falls? Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a nation. Your kids are only safe between the ages of up to the fourth grade. They're safe. After that, they belong to the state, and the state sells them drugs. They're going to make it legal. Yes, we're going to make it legal because drugs are good. Everybody, Junior's got glaucoma. How old is he? He's 7. Got glaucoma. Yep, here's leaked news. New evidence is leaking out. Aren't you tired of hearing all of the crap you're being hit with? You hit from so many sides, you don't know whether to poop or go blind. You can't keep up with it. You're being overrun with all of the dirty deeds of the Communist Party. There are only two parties in America, the Communists and the mainstream Americans. They're either one or the other. And Roberts had a guilty-looking look on his puss when he was getting ready to go to Malta. Now, if he gets killed in Malta, yeah, oh, God. God help us, man. We are a gullible nation. And I saw something that they said that the Russians killed Kennedy. Have you seen that one yet, the latest one, the Russians killed Kennedy? Yeah, and they were working with Fidel. You'll never know. Only God knows, and he's not talking. New evidence about the surface on Obama's birth certificate fraud. There are allegedly several stamps bearing Registrar Alvin Onaka's name floating around inside the Hawaii Department of Health. That's the shocking revelation leaked to WorldNet Daily from Mike Zullo, the lead investigator for Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Boy, they're really trying to get him, aren't they? He should be wearing a suit of armor. For those who are late to this controversy, Alvin Onaka is the Register of Vital Statistics for the state of Hawaii, and the stamp bearing his name is the one that appears on the alleged birth certificate of Barack Obama released to the public last year. And somebody already said, so what? That's what the Democrats do when they finally have no more argument left. They will say, so what? Here's one from Concerned Women of America, and I'm a member of this. I joined it just to tick off my liberal family who called me a male chauvinist pig. So when they do that, I just bring out my membership card, the Concerned Women for America. I am behind on the dues. The dust may have seemed to settle a bit over the past few days since the ruling on the government takeover of American health care came down. And you know what? They're all admitting that Roberts sold out. That's what everybody's coming to that conclusion. Savage, most vehemently. And Mark Levin, regrettably, saying the truth. But I cannot help but think of the timing of the latest misuse of government power last week, as we are less than a day away from the celebrating the independence American sports are hard to gain. You go to the History Channel and you see what those guys did to keep us free, to keep us from going to German concentration camps or Japanese bayonet practice. And the communists have told you we were the bad guys. They told you we were the bad guys. Communist professors in college who you have to bow to because you won't get a good grade. So you kiss their communist ass. That gives you communist lips.
we are slow. I believe there are certain echelon levels of communism. You know, like there's a communist first class, there's the tenderfoot, communist tenderfoot. And then there's the full-blown communist on the top, like the president of the United States. How's that? Look what we did. We went from slavery and back to slavery. We are slowly losing that freedom, and I wonder if we are aware of it. The early congressional leaders of America had a wonderful habit of calling upon God Almighty frequently as this young nation struggled for, endowed by their creator. Isn't that the words? Endowed by their creator. The Big Banger.
Yeah, I believe in the Big Bang Theory.
Well, I believe in the Big Banger. American sports are hard to gain. We are slowly losing that freedom. The early congressional leaders of America had a wonderful habit of calling upon God Almighty frequently as this young nation struggled for freedom. You know, I got a... in one of my websites, I got a picture of a book. Oh, I know where it is. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube, and you'll catch it. It's pictures of Americans that are, you know, standing up for liberty. And there's a cover of a book from World War One, and it shows guys fighting, you know, with the helmets that they wore in World War One. And it's the title of the book. It's a song. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. You don't know that song because you didn't learn that in communist cucumber school. You learned that a fetus is not a child, and it's easy to bayonet them when they're real small. It was often that norm to call for a day of prayer and fasting, and providence was evident upon this nation. We have now in the public square, through laws and apathy, left God behind. I didn't leave you behind, Lord. I'll be with you. Oh, that's one of the things I want to do tonight, if I can find it for you. And we should not be surprised to see the results as they show themselves in the current policies of socialism. My friends, don't even use the word socialism. It's communism. It's raw, adulterated communism. Socialism is too nice a word. Liberal is communist. Independent liberal is communist. Progressive is communist. Don't be afraid to use the word. They've sanitized it out of the dictionary. And if you're having trouble and this commies are getting to you, pray to Blessed Joseph McCarthy. He's the patron saint of anti-communism. Yeah, and Benjamin Franklin, are they quoting Franklin, who said, gentlemen, if we don't hang together, surely we'll all hang separately. So, having said that, I got to see if I can find this for you. I think you're going to like it. If I can find it here. Just bear with me. Maybe I'll give you a tune while we're doing this. And then this way I can shop for that story that I want to give you. My granddaughter loves this tune. Oh, no, I did it wrong. It's a video. It's the Beach Boys, Barbara Ann. She's 3 years old, and already she's a groupie. She likes Brian. Unbelievable. So, just hang in there a second, and let me find something for you. Blog Talk Radio, that's us. We're going to the studio. You know how much a studio apartment costs? You know, the Wall Street boys, remember the Occupy Wall Street? They were interviewing one of those Occupy Wall Street boys. And if you see them, do you see the Occupy crowd? They all look like spoiled kids. Every one of them looks like he's got a silver spoon in his mouth. There's maybe one crazy there that fell off a bus, and all the rest of them are all spoiled brats. And they were interviewing one guy, and he said, and the girl that was interviewing him says, you must stink. You've been down here for 10 days. You know what he said? He said, oh, no, I go to my brother's apartment around the block, and I take a shower every day. Then I come back down with the slobs. Yeah, he didn't say with slobs, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I think I got a new tune that I uploaded tonight. Oh, that, I think it was, I did it already. I think that was Dizzy. Louis Armstrong. Let's see if the other one went up. Okay, we'll give you a little bit of lullaby. And I'll cut it because it's 4 minutes. Lullaby of birds. Couldn't get back in to stop it. But I wanted to mention to you, you're all familiar with the Last Supper and how Jesus was surrounded by the apostles. Did you ever wonder what happened to the apostles? Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead.
Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines of a prison island of Patmos, where he wrote his prophetic book of Revelation. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as a bishop in modern Turkey. He died an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross, according to church tradition, because he told his tormentors he was unworthy to die the same way as Jesus had died. James the Just, the leader of the church in Jerusalem and brother of Jesus, was thrown down more than 100 feet from the southeast pinnacle of a temple where he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. I don't know what a fuller's club is. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James the Greater, the son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade. When Jesus called him for a lifetime of ministry as a strong leader of the church, James was ultimately beheaded at Jerusalem. The Roman soldier who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. Notice Turkey. Turkey was one time all Christian. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed about our Lord in present-day Turkey. He was whipped to death for his preaching in Armenia. And there are a lot of Armenian Christians today. Most Armenians are Christian, Orthodox Christian. Thomas was speared and died on one of his missionary trips to establish the church in India. So Goa in India and Kerala in India are all felt the effects of the visit of St. Thomas, Thomas the Apostle. Jude, another brother of Jesus, this is interesting, was killed with arrows after refusing to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and beheaded. Barnabas, one of the group of 70 disciples, was stoned to death at Thessalonica. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in A.D. 67. Nero went on to head up the Democratic Party in the United States. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament. So, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 1:17. So, how do you like that? You didn't know Jesus had a brother. I didn't know either. I got to check that one out. I'm wishing you a good night. I'm wishing you a happy 4th. And vaya con Dios and viva Cristo Rey. Take care, guys.